Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, and suspects. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon commentary track on Tom Holland's 1988 classic, Child's Play. How do you hear the full thing? Become a skeleton member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You could find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
If you could go back in time to the toy store of any era or any year, what year would you probably go to?
I mean, I'd probably go to the 80s and get all the G1 Transformers. Now, get one for me and one to sell later on.
There's our first mention of the Transformers.
It took a whopping 2 minutes for us to get into Transformers. Yeah,
I'm trying to think if there's any connections in this movie. I don't think there are. I mean, other than the toys, of course. But yeah, I think I would buy. I still love the G1 Transformers. I like
the metal ones, the old Dinoclones.
Oh yeah, you had to like get your parents' help to transform them because they're so rigid.
They hurt. Yeah,
but they're cool looking. I like how they look different than on the show. But yeah, we get one of each, one to sell because those go for a pretty penny now, especially if they're unboxed, and then one to keep for myself.
I haven't seen any Transformers in here yet.
No, I saw a lot of Fisher Price. This must have been like the best peak era for Fisher Price at this point.
I think early
80s was a golden era for toys. I think.
Oh God, so good.
All thanks to Star Wars, I believe.
I know. Do you remember getting any Star Wars toys in actual?
I had them all because by the time I was old enough to really remember that stuff, all the Star Wars shit was on sale. Nobody was really buying it. I mean, they were, but like you could still get it pretty cheap at like KB Toys or something.
I almost feel like I don't know. I have anything to back
Barbie the Rockers. That was when they tried to capitalize on Gem.
I remember that. But no, I feel like the Star Wars toys, I almost feel like it was when the prequels started getting talked about. That was when maybe when they re-released the original trilogy in the 90s. I feel like that's when, because they redid the figures. Remember,
they redid the figures in 95. And one of the first ones that was offered was a mail-in of Han Solo in the Stormtrooper garb. From the back of a cereal box.
I had all those, man.
Did you get that, Vanderbilt?
I did not have that one, but definitely buy that first wave of Kenner toys and still have them in the box at my parents' house.
I don't think they're really
worth anything.
I had all those goddamn toys and I stored them in my garage in Florida and they all fucking melted because that's what Florida does.
Oh, jeez.
Awful. All of them. I had more of the first wave Kenner than the 70s originals, but I still had a lot of the 70s originals. So yeah, bummer, but oh well.
Yeah, we still got most of the 70s originals in my parents' house because my parents like Star Wars, so they never throw those away. But again, not worth anything because they're played with, they're beat up.
Yeah.
Which is how every toy should be, though. You know,
I was going to say, I was never a guy who kept I still have a lot of action figures that, and they're in good condition, like I didn't ruin them, but I was never a fan of like keeping them in the box, right? I like to have them to look at.
The only one I ever kept in a box was in 97 when they released Return of the Jedi. At the Return of the Jedi screening, they gave you a Luke and Jedi fatigues, and I saved it, and then I left it in my closet, just like what you're saying, Dan. And the fucking sun melted it, like it just got warm
Florida,
in there.
Man.
And the Florida
kills
cracked.
Your dreams.
It just cracked. I was so pissed. Oh well.
I do have, you know, I do have the Movie Maniacs Chucky toys from both the first movie and the when did he get his face all busted up?
Like, I guess Bride of Chucky.
Bride of Chucky, and I have Tiffany also. Where is this toy store is no longer around, right?
It was like, Playland Toys, 418 South Wabash Street.
Wow.
South Wabash, definitely South Side.
But it was a real toy store.
Was it good?
I don't see any reviews. I never went there. We went to the Toys R Us over on Cicero. That was my toy store growing up, which is now, I think it might just still be empty. And it's right next to the Matson Steakhouse, which I've never eaten at, but isn't supposed to be very good.
Oh, wait. Did you see the Ghostbusters toy on the show?
Oh, did I miss
it? Yeah. It was the, what's their mobile? The
Ecto-1.
Yeah. Oh, they had that on the shelf.
That stuff is coming back now, thanks to not only just Ghostbusters Afterlife, but Hasbro's been like digging into the archives, which is smart because everyone's really, you know, jonesing for the vintage stuff. And the real Ghostbusters,
there's a market line, for it. Why let the collectors make all the money? Like, for me, I don't care about having, like, if I wanted those original Ghostbusters, I think I still have those at my parents' house too.
Yeah, those.
Oh, I would want, I don't care if they're the originals or not. Man. I'm never going to resell them. Mm-hmm.
Now, was this the inside of the apartment? Was that the actual apartment, or did they film that on a soundstage? I'm guessing they had to recreate, like, just do an interior on a soundstage, right? Because of all the Chucky effects, but maybe not. I don't know.
I would assume as much. That's got to be. It feels like Los Angeles.
Yeah, so the apartments are the Brewster Apartments. And, yeah, it is located on Diversey and Pine Grove Avenue. It served as the location of the apartment where it lived, and it was on the picture. In-studio filming took place at Culver City's. Culver Studios. So it was probably, yeah, it was a studio, which makes sense given all the stuff that they had to do with the puppets in this movie.
I feel like of all the big horror movies, Halloween was filmed inside the houses, the original one was. And then,
well,
was
different houses though. That's the thing. Because that's why when they walk into the Wallace house, there's a room like to the right where there shouldn't be any actual.
Oh,
room.
You're right. But the Myers house was filmed inside the Myers house, right?
Pretty sure the Myers house.
And Jamie Lee Curtis's house was inside. I think, wasn't Nightmare on Elm Street filmed actually inside the house?
I can't confirm. I know that the Doyle house was filmed in a different location because the door is different in multiple scenes. Into the Doyle house, you could see the glass windows on the door, but then they go back and they had to put a different door so she could pound on it. But then I think the interiors of that house was in a different location as well, which is strange.
I wanted to drop some fun trivia here that animated Good Guys cartoon was produced by Ruby Spears, who did a lot of cartoons throughout the 80s. What did they do? Hound Cats, the Barkleys. They were part of Space Ghost, Alvin and Chipmunks, the Police Academy animated series.
I remember that. I heard about that before I heard about the show.
God, I was so, it's so weird because like, I always say I'm like a child of the 80s just because I'm such a sucker for any marketing. And it's because I grew up and moved in situations exactly like this. Like this was pretty much my childhood at 3 to 4, although I wasn't an idiot and spilling milk all over the place.
you knew how to make breakfast when you were 4.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ronald Reagan, for that.
Yeah. You know, it's a great prez, huh?
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
He did just let, hey, look, he did let companies just advertise whatever the fuck they want the children.
You know, it's one of the reasons why I had so many different toys. I mean, it got to the point where my mom would be like, well, you have Ninja Turtles. Why do you need a Rocketeer? And I'm like, well, you know, because the Rocketeer, that's the movie, I loved it. And it was like, is the Rocketeer going to play with your Ninja Turtles? And I was like, yeah, sure. And
I was like, I never crossed my toy. I had every now and then, if I was doing a big group scene, I would have to like take an X-Men and put it in Star Wars. And I fucking hate it.
They're different sizes.
Yeah. And it was like,
ever look back and think to yourself, what the hell was I doing with all those toys? Was I really playing with them every day?
I was playing with them a lot.
I'm not trying to sound cool. I really was. Not that that's cool, I hated mixing them.
For Star Wars, it's weird because like you look at like Lego sets today, and they all are like specific to like IP, and you don't really get that much imagination to kind of build your own things anymore. Whereas like back when I was younger, like not to sound like an old fucking man, but like I got Legos and I would just like get the bases and make whatever I wanted out of it. And that was kind of the same way I acted with action figures. Like I would get the Star Wars figures and I would have new adventures. Like I wouldn't really necessarily be recreating the stuff from the movies per se. You know, like
I respected the lore and the events of the movie, but I always did like sequels, like what had like later on kind of thing, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
you guys like space Legos or the medieval Legos?
Ooh. I was not a big Lego guy, to be honest. Legos, I always liked more movie tie-ins, you know, like Aliens, Star Wars, X-Men.
Yeah, me too.
I never got super into like building stuff as a kid.
I did like medieval Legos though, Mike, because I love cool. The drawbridge is so cool. And then you get the ghost that glows in the dark.
Of course, you were a Robin Hood guy. So.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
That was right in your wheelhouse.
Loved Prince of Thieves. If you had your top three favorite toy lines growing up, what would they be?
Because it has to be Star Wars, Transformers. You know what? I'll throw in a dark horse. Remember the Supernaturals? They were a horror themed line and they had holograms on the front of them.
I'm looking this up right now.
They were really cool.
I remember Visionaries. That was my favorite hologram.
Visionaries was in that era.
Yeah, holograms are cool back then. My favorite would probably be Star Wars, just because it was the first and the volume of it. Transformers. I actually really liked all the
awesome.
The McFarlane action figures, like Spawn. I had all the Spawn figures, Movie Maniacs, of course.
Yeah, I've got the Hanson brothers and the McKenzie brothers on my shelf in here somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I loved how McFarlane expanded and did Slapshot.
Whatever he wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard of Supernatural, so let's look this up.
These look awesome. Like, holy shit. Like, they remind me of like the old He-Man figures.
Yep.
A little bit.
There was never a cartoon or anything to go along, so I don't necessarily remember who were the good guys and who were the bad guys. I imagine it was one of those things, maybe like the Aliens line, where, you know, there was plans for a cartoon and it just never sold.
Oh, I vaguely remember this, Mike. Yeah, you're right. It was funny back then, because I know most of these toy lines had cartoon series that became arguably as beloved as the action figures, but it was funny that all of these cartoons, from G.I. Joe to Transformers to He-Man, whatever, the cartoons were made to sell toys. Like, there was no other. And with Transformers, that's what was funny about it, was because the only reason they killed Optimus Prime was to make way for new toys, and it made fired. The movie badass in a way, even though it was a totally like cynical consumerist movie.
I firmly believe that. I've written about that in the past. Like, they could have just like made new toys. They're like, no, let's kill them all brutally.
It's just kind of wild, man. Like, every show, and the shows are like really respected at this point, like Thundercats, all of them. It was like, no, we're gonna make this just to sell the fucking toys, and that's
well, that's
it.
Like, it's like Dino Riders was the, you know, amazing toys.
Oh, Dino Riders was a cool line.
Yeah,
it was
like
such
Riders
a cool line. And like, the toy, the dinosaurs had these really great eyes, and the scales were like really
their necks
thick.
Moved, which was cool.
Just, yeah, the movement was amazing. The show was fun, but like, it was such an afterthought compared to just
show. I couldn't tell you anything about it, but I remembered, like, even then I think I felt like this is just a commercial.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That Aliens line was so fucking amazing, though.
I loved it. Oh, that was so cool, man.
I can't believe that pilot has never leaked, because there's photos of it.
Yeah.
They made one episode of it.
Oh, they did. I know that.
Of Operation Aliens, and you can find the photos online, but I don't know if it was... I believe it was deemed too violent. I don't know how true that is.
I mean, I remember they came with these little comic books that were pretty cool.
They did,
and they had all the different animal aliens. So the gorilla alien, right? Like, it was a facehugger that went on a gorilla. Mm-hmm. No, what I actually just got at the library, I didn't know this existed, was Dark Horse published an alien adaptation based on Dan O'Bannon's original screenplay. So
it was just
the library I saw.
Is it
really
called
cool.
Star Beast?
No, it should be, right? But the spaceship is called the Snark in it, and the alien's a lot different looking, and the cast is different. I'm excited to read it. I don't know how good it'll be, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'll just never forget just how much I hopped from one fucking line to another. I mean, it was like,
yep,
within that year, probably, it was like Prince of Thieves, Terminator 2, which was a shitty lineup, but
it really was. But I had
the skeleton, which was cool. That was like a
the
cool
skeleton was cool. The John Connor was the best figure, because it was like, wow, this actually looks like the movie.
I liked T-1000's big ass.
Well, that was
we've talked about that on this before. Yeah.
Such a bad figure. I'll just never forget my mom coming home. Bless her heart, but like, I'd be like, oh, can you get me the Terminator 2 figure? And I was like, cool. And she brought home like the fat cop, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
What's wrong with his legs?
I just like would look at the back of the figure instead.
Now, Vanderbilt, is WDOL a Chicago station? It's not, I don't think, right?
That is not, no. Not that I remember.
Oh, wait, WDOL, is that supposed to be doll? Like doll, right? That's the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, Caffrey, what is your three figure lines then?
Mine would be, I think it would be Star Wars, Transformers, and McFarlane umbrella. If I had to choose, maybe the Movie Maniacs. But you know what, though? The McFarlane stuff looked so good, I didn't really play with it. That was more just to have out. Like, Transformers I played with, Star Wars I played with. I would maybe go with the X-Men Marvel line of the 90s. Not that they look especially good, but it was just cool to have those. Like,
my brother was really into those.
Yeah, it was.
That was about that era where I still wanted toys, mm-hmm. but I knew that I was just a little too old for them. And it was before it was cool to collect that shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Because people forget, man, that shit was not cool. Like, I loved having all these McFarlane toys posed on my shelves. I don't think it did me any favors, though, as far as being cool or whatever when I was in high school.
What is an appropriate age like, what's the last year that's appropriate to buy like action figures and play with them?
I think you start feeling it about like 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, that's that's about, I think I still played, like when I got all those Kenner New Wave Star Wars toys, I still had like really elaborate scenarios when I was like 12, 13.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, once again, in high school, though, I mean, I still collected them for sure, but it was more about putting them out and having them there, not about actually playing with them. What if you were still playing with a good guy doll when you were like 14, just a nerd?
All I wanted was a Chucky doll when I was probably,
did they make that? They,
well, that's just it. So it's about 12, about 11 or 12 is when I really got into Child's Play. Cause I saw three at the show and I wanted one, but they did make one. And it was like the Garfield that you stick in your car with suction cups. And I ended up ordering a catalog from the back of Fangoria magazine. And this guy just had old horror movie merchandise. And I ordered a bunch of stuff from him. And one of them was the little stick up Chucky doll. But then I want to say maybe 2 years later at the carnival, they had a whole bunch of like almost full size Chucky dolls to win. But like you couldn't win them because they were, you know, the games were impossible.
But were those like officially licensed or are they just bootleg knockoff carnival?
They looked
toys?
Official enough. Like wow, I'm sure somebody paid for the license. About.
they just took Cabbage Patch dolls and like added red hair to it and some overalls.
But the I want to say the suction cup one was, I might have been a Spencer Gifts exclusive.
It's a 19. So that I looked it up.
That's for two.
And that was, yeah, it looks like very rare. It's $155 on eBay right now.
Oh, wow. I wonder if I still have that.
I mean, but look at the problem is like, look at Chucky right now. He's huge. Like he's way bigger than Cabbage Patch doll. Like Cabbage Patch weren't the size of you.
No.
But they made him that big. The ones I saw at the carnival had,
man.
And then crazy. I think they ended up selling them because somehow I ended up with one and I cannot remember for the life of me how I did.
How young were they? I mean, Alex Vincent's got to be like a 5-year-old kid here, right? Maybe a little bit older.
I thought he was supposed to be eight.
Like the size of an 8-year-old kid. That's a pretty big doll.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out. And we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.